So I've told a few stories here, and I always tell stories about myself, which kind of bores me too. So I'm going to tell a story about a friend of mine tonight. Her name is Heidi, and I've known her for about 17 years maybe now. Anyhow, a couple summers ago, she had been laid off her job. She was in Oakland. And she'd been laid off her job, and I was in graduate school, and so I had this summer vacation between the 2 years, and it was the first time I'd had a summer vacation in a long time. And so Heidi was going on this trip. She was going to ride her motorcycle to Alaska, like to the Arctic Ocean, Dalton Highway, the whole nine yards, because she is the badassest person that I know, just hands down. She is a... She teaches women's self-defense at this outfit called Girl Army in Oakland. She's an NRA certified rifle instructor. She's just super, super badass. But she's also the least confrontational person that I have ever met. So like I said, I've known her for a long time. We haven't lived together. And I know for a fact that if you say, Heidi, you are the biggest asshole I have ever met, she'll say, who's to say? When we were on our trip, she had this GPS system that she used to get wherever she went. And now both of us have done a lot of solo motorcycle traveling. And so her GPS would break down all the time. I'd say, well, let's just ask someone where the cafe is so that we could get a latte. Who? I wouldn't want to bother them, she says. So we'd been traveling together. We went over Yosemite and came back over Monitor Pass, and then we went up through the Cascades, up to the Olympic National Forest, and we were camping sometimes. Sometimes we stayed in youth hostels. Every once in a while, we'd splurge and get a motel. So we were coming into Olympia, where neither of us had ever been before, and our plan was to stay at a youth hostel there. So she had her GPS out, and we're going to stay at this youth hostel. And we had called ahead. They had room and everything. And we were cruising in to a residential neighborhood, which is a very strange thing for a youth hostel to be in a residential neighborhood. Usually they're in town. But the GPS said so. And then we pulled up, and it's these old dilapidated 70s tract houses with a bunch of, like, messed up cars all in front of them. And so we get off our bikes and we're looking at each other, is this the place? And so we go up, we knock on the door, and a guy opens the door, and we're like, is this the hostel? He's like, oh yeah, come on in, this is the hostel. And I can't remember what his name was, like Moonshadow or something. Anyhow, so he opens up the door, and there are no fewer than 40 people in this living room, in this filthy, disgusting, rundown 70s tract home. And we quickly realized that it wasn't really a hostel, it was a squat, basically. And but Heidi's very polite, so she's standing in the door, she's like, oh gosh, you know, here we are. And this place is filthy. And the guy says, you know, we don't wear our shoes inside. And so I'm looking down, and I'm thinking, this is like hepatitis on the floor. And but Heidi's just very polite, so she's taking her shoes off. So I took my boots off, and so we're standing barefoot in this disgusting house. And Moonshadow says, well, we don't have any room in the house. And I think it was something like, we don't have any floor space in the house. And so we start cruising through, and he's giving us a little tour. He said, but we have some cabins in the back. And he shows us the kitchen, and then also very sanctimoniously, sorry, vegans, he said, we don't let any meat in the kitchen. I would not cook anything in that kitchen. It was so disgusting. Like, not having meat there was not going to save you from getting a disease. So I was, that's fine, we're never cooking in that kitchen. So we go out, and the cabins are these tool sheds. You know, the kind of backyard tool sheds. And he shows us one of them, and there's a bunch of bunk beds lined up on the sides, and they're not made. Somebody's obviously been sleeping in them. We're like, well, we thought you had a bed. Oh, yeah, you can have this one. We'll just, you know, get you some new sheets. And so Heidi and I just looked at each other. well, we've got to chat. And so we went in, we put our boots on, and we walked out, and we just got on our bikes. We're just like, we're out. Yeah, we got. That's not going to happen. So we're in Olympia, though, and it's getting to be dusk, and we have nowhere to stay. We don't know Olympia. And so we're just riding around, and then I saw a sign. It was a sign. It said Holly Hotel. So I was like, oh, we're going to stay here. So we get there, and it's one of those old dilapidated motor inns. There's a ton of them in San Luis, actually. So it was one of those, you know, 60s model motor inns. And we go in, and we rent a room, and we're looking scruffy. And the guy is kind of like, I don't know. You know, these are some losers right here. So we pull up in front, and we're unpacking our bikes, and we hear somebody arguing from the motel room next to us, you know, back and forth. And so it takes some time to unpack a bike. And then this guy opens the door, and his face comes out. And I'm pretty friendly and outgoing, so I was like, oh, hi. And he gives me the crazy look. And he slams the door. And then the argument ensues again. But then it becomes clear that there aren't two people in that room. That is one man, and he is arguing with himself. So we're taking our stuff in and locking up, and we look over, and there's 20 raccoons, and they're all scurrying up towards the door where this guy is. And then we look on the ground, and there's a bunch of Ritz crackers. And then he opens up the door, and he's throwing Ritz crackers out to this herd of raccoons. But then we realize that he has no fingers. There's no fingers, just little hands. But, you know, Heidi takes everything with such aplomb. She says, well, I guess he won't strangle us in the night. So we get into the room, and we're unpacking, and it's been a long day. It was the first day it really rained on us. It was the first day we had to take the interstate, which she hates. There was the adventure with this hippie punk squat. And so she was just really relieved. And we took a shower, and we wiped ourselves off with the towels that were kind of ratty with little strings hanging off. And I go to turn down the bed, and there was a pubic hair on the bed. So I'm, yeah, whatever. And so I just brush that pubic hair off the bed. But for the first time, I saw Heidi lose her shit. That was the pubic hair that broke the camel's back. And she didn't lose her shit in, like, a badass kind of way. She lost her shit in the manner of a bourgeois grandmother in Macy's who isn't getting good customer service. And she pulled herself up, and she just stalked right down to that office. She stalked right down there, and she said, we will be having clean sheets now. And I was so fascinated. This was a show I had never seen before. So I came scurrying after to see what was going to go on. And the guy who was the night auditor at the motel very clearly felt that there were women who made the bed. That's a woman's job. And he realized, he says, well, you know, it was probably just on the comforter. But that didn't go over very well. There's pubic hair on the comforter. There will be none of that. So then he starts to argue that he doesn't know how to make a bed. But, you know, there was nothing that he could do or say that was going to keep Heidi down. She was going to have clean sheets, and she was going to have them tonight forthwith. So that's about when I stepped in. We worked it out, and I said, if you give me the sheets, I will make the bed. And it was the most beautiful thing, because I had really come to believe that there was nothing that could shake this woman's aplomb. But indeed, there was, and it's pubic hair on the bed.